Just make a note of this in your heart or write it down. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. That's not the Gospel of John. It's the Epistle of John. When I first got saved, I didn't know a lot about the Bible. I knew it was God's book, but I'd read that catalog instead of the Bible. And when I started reading the Bible, I discovered a lot of things that I had no idea that God was so good and so great. I finally found out the epistles were not the wives of the apostles. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They were different letters from the four initial gospels. And this is the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. I'm going to read it before we comment this morning for just a little while. I'm going to try to give you a radio sermon for time's sake, which is in a 30-minute context. I'm not very good at that when the anointing gets so strong in church. I'm better at it sitting at a microphone in my home office. Praise God. The anointing is still strong, but there's no one like John amening. Because when I'm amened like that, it's like saying sick'em to a bird dog. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I appreciate the sick'ems from God's people today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For whatsoever is born of God. I'm going to ask you if that is you here today as a Christian. I want to identify those people in this room that you didn't just join a church or get religion, but you've been born from above. You've been born again. How many in this room are born again? Hallelujah. Amen. Now this promise is to you. It's personal to you. It's personal to me. Now the problem with this that we're going to read is everybody in this room is not overcoming. And the promises are all to the overcomer. There's no promise to anyone who doesn't overcome. In fact, there's a promise that you can overcome so that you can receive the rest of the promises of God. Everyone in this room that has received Jesus as your Savior is highly qualified to overcome everything that you have to contend with. Praise God. Everybody, without exception, the weakest one in this room. You see, John was the greatest in that line of prophets. In fact, he was the last in the line. Amen. And the Bible said of John the Baptist, when he came, he didn't come with the normal credentials. He came out of the wilderness. He was wearing animal skins instead of Armani. He wore animal. The label on the inside of whatever fur he had on said animal, not Armani. Can you say amen? So he didn't look the part. He looked kind of wild and disheveled. But he had an anointing on him. Today we got a lot of people that look the part. But they don't hold that holy anointing to speak for God. He didn't look the part. I'm going to tell you, the clothes don't make the preacher. Can you say amen? It's that anointing that makes all of the difference. And John was anointed. And he was so highly honored that Jesus said that there was never, never greater, born of a woman. In other words, Isaiah didn't supersede him because he was born of a woman. Jeremiah didn't supersede him. Moses didn't supersede him. The glorious King David restored did not supersede him. Amen. The man he took to heaven and didn't let him see death, Enoch, didn't rank higher in God's sight and honor than John the Baptist. Because they were all born of women. Never greater was ever born of a woman. The only one greater was Jesus Christ himself. But other than that, there was no one greater than John. What an honor for God incarnate, Jesus Christ, to say of a man, a mortal man, never greater born of a woman than John. Would you agree he's highly honored and highly qualified, amen, to stand and speak for God? Oh, but he didn't quit speaking there. He said, but when people come into my kingdom through what's going to happen at the cross, never greater born of woman than John. Never been anyone born of a woman on this planet greater than him, but the least of these in the kingdom of God. Somebody say, that's us. Come on, if you're saved today, that's you and me. But the least of these in the kingdom of God, in God's side where it matters. Because all this other don't matter. You get in a hospital going through what you've been through, I've been through. You know, I want to be a good witness for the Lord, don't get me wrong. But I'm not at all interested in your assessment of me. Thank you for the hearty amen. I'm not at all. No, because you can't go where he can go with me. Amen. You may not believe that I deserve his blessing. That's not going to stop his blessing in my life. Can you say amen? Whether you esteem me high or not, it isn't going to keep God's blessing from me. Because that's not between you and him and me. That's just between him and me. Can you say amen? And I don't know about you, but I like Psalm 91. See, I love the way God talks. God doesn't mince words. He talks plain. He talks clear. He talks with absolute authority. And he says of the word that he speaks, heaven will pass away, earth will pass away, just like people are passing away. Amen. But he said, my word is going to abide forever and ever. And he that doeth the will of God is going to be just as eternal as the word itself. Love not the world, the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Hallelujah. So, when we get into this verse of Scripture, whatsoever is born of God, that's you and that's me. Never greater born of woman in that line until that time than John. But those that are born of God, spiritually born again, they have a ranking. They have a standing before Almighty God and said, now, listen, you have entered into a place that is greater than he. Even the least of you in the kingdom is greater than John. And there's nobody else on the planet greater than him. That incredible? Do you know what's going to happen in heaven when the songs of Moses and the Lamb are sung before the throne? Angels can't join in. Angels can't join in. You know why? They have not been redeemed. They can't sing about the blood. They can't sing about the mercy. They can't sing about the grace. I believe angels are highly envious of us. I do. I do, because they have never fell from grace. The ones that are still in heaven have never fell from grace. We have all fallen from God's grace. But we've all been restored and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? And we have a standing and we have a ranking with God where it really matters. Can you say amen? See, that's why the Bible said, Paul said, let's sum it up. Let's put the end to the accusations of the enemy and the arguments of men and the arguments of our own flesh. Sometimes we feel inadequate. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed. Sometimes we feel we're not up to the level of faith and spiritual fortitude that's necessary in order to overcome. God wants to change that attitude in every one of our heart and every one of our life. Because if you're in the kingdom of God, you have a standing with God. And God said, there's none greater than John, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So whatsoever is born of God, therefore, overcometh the world. And the world, under Satan's influence and direction, is a formidable foe. Amen. It's not a cakewalk. We used to sing it. We still should sing it in our hearts. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. I came here to stand. The armor is no good, Brother Taylor, unless we stand. And that's why one of the least parts of the armor is one of the least preached of the armor. But it was vital to everything else. It's the last thing the Roman soldier put on when he got up in the morning. Israel was occupied by Rome. So when Paul used the analogy of the armor, he used a Roman soldier's covering, amen, to do that. The first thing he did when he got up in the morning is he put on, amen, his robe, and then he put a belt on, and everything hinged on that. And then he took the shield and the sword and the breastplate and the helmet, and then the last thing he did was put on the hobnailed boots, those sandals that were built to grip so that when you stood to fight your enemy, he couldn't push you back. You could stand and use your shield. You could stand and use your sword. Can you say amen? And the Bible said, having done all, stand still and see the salvation of God. Be still and know that He is God. When you fight the fight of faith, it's not about your energy. It's about your stand. It's about your stand. It's about your stand. And the shoes of peace. It's a warrior peace. It's the peace of knowing when you go into the battle, you already know the outcome. That's warrior peace. You're not fighting to see if you can win. You don't go forth in God's armor to try or attempt to overcome. You go forth in God's armor to not even to get a victory. I know the hallelujahs are muffled and the amens are muffled. You don't go in God's armor to get a victory. Amen. Not with God's armor. Amen. Your armor, yeah, but not His. You don't go to get a victory. You go to demonstrate a victory that's already won. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Venable, I'm trying to get the victory over this. You'll never get the victory over this because you got the victory over this. Thanks be unto God. 1 Corinthians 15. Thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, listen to the standing. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Can you see the standing? Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know before you start, amen, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You say, I'm prepared to tell him, but see, it doesn't start with telling people about Jesus. It doesn't start with trying to get them to get the peace with God so they can experience the peace of God. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace in them that make peace. This peace of God, this understanding that we have a standing with God that the devil cannot pick apart. He can't dismantle it. That's why Paul said in Romans 8, what more shall we say to these things? The end of the argument is this. If God be for us, who then can be against us? Can you say amen? Is God for you? Yes. Are you perfect? No. Are you being perfected? I certainly hope so. Well, actually, I certainly know so, because God, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's all God, all the time, all victory. Can you say amen? It's God that worketh in you, John. Hallelujah, it's God. He that's begun a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until Christ comes, God's going to keep working. Hallelujah. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to hope you can somehow follow through. No, both to will and to do. He said, not only am I going to reveal my will to you so that you can agree with it and surrender to it, I'm going to give you the power to do it. That's why Paul said, I'm alive, but I'm dead. I live. I'm dead, but yet I live. And it's no more I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. Amen. I don't think I could do all of these things that God wills for me. I'm so weak. I'm the least in the kingdom of God. I love what one man said. He married Pat Boone's daughter. He had just come to Christ, so she did marry a believer, but he hadn't grown in Christ. And, you know, it's not just because, you know, there's a lot of people sitting in church that have come to Christ, but they haven't grown in Christ. How do you know, Brother Boone? Because you start overcoming. You start overcoming. You start overcoming. And every person, people look at certain people with certain victories that have occurred, and they say, well, that's Brother Venable. God called him to preach, and that's why he helped him, and that's why he healed him. No, he didn't. No, that's not because I'm a preacher. It's not my office. It's not my anointing. It's the blood of Jesus Christ and the love of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is no respecter of persons. He loves all of us. As if there was just one of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. They ask a gospel singer who came from... Anybody here from a family of 10 or more? She had 10 or more. How many? 9. Almost 10. Oh, wow. Everybody's vying for the attention. And they... Amen. Talk about sibling rivalry. I can't imagine 9 other me's or like me's. Can you say, man? And they ask, yeah, fighting over it, the last piece of cornbread. Man, I'd have to. He told me about Mama's biscuits yesterday. And I'm going to tell you, he's bigger than me, and I'd hate to wrestle him for that last biscuit. But someone asked the mother of 10, gospel singer from the hills, I think, of Kentucky, asked her, How did you show every one of them that you love them? She said, well, I always looked for the one that looked sad or had hurt themselves, and I tried to give them first priority just because they had the greater need. Isn't that a mother's love? Amen. How many know when kids cry in stores sometimes because they didn't get the toy they wanted and they're screaming to high heaven? It doesn't invoke compassion in your heart. Amen. I mean, we go to a particular store every now and then, and when we're in that store, inevitably some kid doesn't get what it wants, and it begins to scream. It's a shrill scream. I just walk the other way, and I'm like, that gives us a grateful heart. Thank God our kids are grown. They're still, you know, have needs and problems, but they're not screaming anyway like that. Amen. Some nutcake in Walmart, a kid kept doing that, and he went over and slapped the mama's kid. You do not do that. Mama can do it, but you can't do that. The law says you can't do it, and mama says you can't do it, and daddy will be here in 5 minutes. And amen. Amen, John. Daddy coming too. God chastens his children, but he does it because he loves us, not because he wants to harm us, and not because he wants to hurt us. There's so many shepherds that are trying to use the rod. I use the authority of God's word. I never back up on it, but it's not to whoop anybody with. Amen. It's to show you what the standard is. And pray that you'll fall in love with Jesus enough to want to meet the standard that he has set for you. I read of a pastor the other day, and it's a true story. He said he went to Israel, and he wanted to see how shepherds today in the Middle East, how they deal with their flocks today in the 21st century. And he saw shepherds leading their sheep and the sheep following that shepherd. But he saw a man driving about 24 sheep down a hill with a stick. He was driving them down a hill with a stick. And he was standing with the shepherd, and his sheep were just, they were just laying around in green pasture, satisfied, protected. And he said, what is that shepherd doing? What is that shepherd doing? And the shepherd that was with him said, "That's no shepherd. Those sheep have been sold to that man, and he's driving them to be slaughtered." Amen? Listen, there are people who love you, and there are people who want to manipulate you and merchandise you. And the Bible uses that very word in the scripture for them. And they're not coming. They were there then. They are here now. Amen. If you have to be threatened to serve God, you're not doing it from the heart. It doesn't bless you, and it doesn't mean anything to him. I remember being threatened with a whooping if I didn't mow the yard when I was growing up. I mowed the yard because I did not want the whooping. But as I began to grow and saw how hard and self-sacrificing my daddy and mama was in order to provide for me, particularly my mother who was carrying the load of it, I didn't want neither one of them to have to get out there and mow that yard. And I remember how different it was, Brother Taylor, when I said, "They're not even going to have to ask me, let alone threaten me. I'm going to do this because I love them and respect them and appreciate them." Did you know something? That time when I mowed the yard, I didn't feel as fatigued. I didn't feel like it was such a job or an imposition or taking up some of my valuable time. Can you say, man? I felt like I'm investing back into them that have done so much for me. And when we serve God that way, not driven with a stick but drawn by his love, it changes everything. What used to be a job becomes a joy. I'm going to use you as an example. Sister Ruth is one of our prayer warriors. And she's been with us for how many years? Do you remember? I can't remember. 85 years? I know we're all aging. I don't look that old, do I? Thank you, young man. Give me a bump. Since 1985, a long time. And we've looked to her because she will pray. She won't say, "I'll pray for you," and then go and watch a soap opera. Can you say amen? She will pray. And when you need prayer, you really need someone who will pray. Amen. Truly intercede. And as we discussed intercessory prayer the other day on the phone, she just made a statement and just blessed my soul. Because she's not praying just out of duty or necessity or pressure to pray. Some people, their whole Christian life is lived burdened down under the burden of trying to please God instead of the blessing of pleasing God. Amen. It's an honor. It's a privilege. She said, "Brother Venable, not only will I pray," talking about praying, she said, "I just love to pray." And I thought, if you love to pray, you know, it's not going to be a duty, a responsibility anymore. If you love it. I mean, how many remember when cartoons were funny instead of weird? Yeah, man, you probably don't remember. You don't remember. You, young man, all you got SpongeBob. Amen. But we had Bugs Bunny, didn't we? Yes, we did. And Yosemite Sam. And Cartoon Day was a special day because we didn't have them all the time. There's one day, Saturday, was Cartoon Day. All through the week, my kids never loved to get up and go to school. They didn't love to get up, period, let alone go to school. I have drugged my children out of bed by the feet, onto the floor. Not snatch them, mean, but just kept pulling and pulling. "You got to get up. Come on now, come on." And pull them out, and they'd plop down. "Oh, Daddy, I don't feel like going to school today." And I thought, "I don't feel like getting you up either, but we got to do this." Amen. So 5 days a week, we go through that same deal. They don't want to go. They're not motivated. They want to cover up and stay in bed. And so Saturday comes. I get up early on Sunday because we got church. I get up with them because they got school. Saturday, Daddy's day, Mama's day. We can sleep in Saturday morning. We don't have to get up with the chicken. So we're sleeping. It's so blissful. We don't have anything. It's not church day. It's not take them to school day. It's not work day. It's Saturday. Sleep in, sleep late day. And what do we hear in the living room? 7 a.m. And it's loud. And there they both sit. They're eating cereal. We don't have to cook them breakfast. They're eating it with their hands out of the box. They don't care. And I go in all bleary-eyed and I say, hey, turn that thing down. What are y'all doing up so early? And they look at me like, are you crazy? It's cartoon day. They love it. Love is the love motivates you. Love, oh man. We drove through Brandon, and then we drove back to a Hardee's that sits where I used to live. From Brandon. And I'm not talking about Brandon, but Brandon where it almost meets Valrico, where Brandon stops, Valrico begins out in Highway 60, down in a neighborhood is where her house was. When I fell in love with the woman, I'd take her bus home, and I lived over near the interstate system, which wasn't in at that time, way back in the day. Amen. And I walked. When about time for her daddy to come home from work, it was about time for me to go home. Come on, John. It's time for me to... Your daddy be home a minute. Okay, bye-bye. One more. And then we... Boy, that was good sugar, wasn't it, back in the day? Amen. I was motivated. And now I look at how far... I didn't have a bicycle or a motor scooter. I walked. And I walked in the bliss of that first love, those first real kisses. And I walked, and we drove. And when you go from Brandon, that side of Brandon, to Mango Sefner area, and then another mile over to where our house was, it is a long walk. And a lot of times people didn't pick me up, and I had to walk all the way. But John, it was worth it. When you're in love, nobody has to drive you, threaten you. They don't even have to promise you certain blessings. Loving God back because He loved you so much. It's a privilege to serve Him. It's an honor to serve Him. It's a blessing to be a blessing to Him. And when you grow up in God, you don't need to be threatened. Amen. And not driven. But you can be, amen, drawn by the love of God into the presence of God for blessing. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes this world, because the least in the kingdom, the weakest one of us, the most unstable, unsturdy, lack of fortitude and staggering faith. Amen. He said you have a standing before Almighty God. Whether you stand in your standing or not, you've got the standing. Everyone don't stand in their standing. Amen. But you have the standing. You may feel weak, insignificant, and the problems you have seem insurmountable because you're looking at your ability. Amen. You need to look past your ability or lack of it and look beyond that into the God that saved you and redeemed you and is for you today and has come to abide within you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. This is the way that they overcome the world. Number one, they're born of God. They have the standing. They're qualified, highly qualified. That's why I said take the armor of God. Why does it say take it? Because He's provided it for you. It's a provision of God. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Now before you look at your faith, see how big it is. That's not what that's talking about. It is the faith first. Earnestly contend for what? The faith. That body of truth that was once delivered to the saints. Once and for all, I might add. The Bible is not still being written. It's complete. Hallelujah. Amen. It's completed. It's completed. Hallelujah. There are revelations into what we have in Christ. But there's nothing beyond what is revealed. It's there. It's there for you and it's there for me. And the least in the kingdom. Everybody say the least in the kingdom. Some of you looking at your weakness instead of His power, His promise, and you're standing before Almighty God. The devil will tell you that you can never overcome. God says that if you will believe in what I have done for you, if you will believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll have the greater victory than any other victory that you'll ever need. You will. Can you say amen? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you've repented of your sins and you accept Him and you confess Him, you will be saved. In spite of all of hell's minions, you will be saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No if, no and, no but, and no maybe. Glory be to God. I love the way God talks. Even our faith. The body of truth that was once delivered to the saints is preserved for us today. The things that were written aforetime, preserved for us today, were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have, I don't care what the circumstance is, we might have hope. Hope, biblically defined, is the glad, starts out with glad. He hath made me glad. Can you say amen? The glad anticipation of future good. When corrective judgments were in the land, the prophets prophesied that it was going to come. They got the misconception that God didn't love them and didn't want them anymore. They were wrong. It was to correct them. To keep the devil from destroying them. To bring them back into the land so He could bless them and restore their fortunes. It was a corrective judgment. It was given in love. So He told them, don't misinterpret this corrective judgment and believe that I don't love you and don't want you. I know the thoughts that I think toward thee. This is not how you feel about yourself. This is how God feels about you. And what you need to get renewed in your mind is not you looking at yourself, amen, and being super humble. I hear this all the time, and I don't want to hear it anymore, and I don't want to say it no more. Well, I'm nothing. God bless you. God use you to be a blessing to me. Well, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm sorry. Good for nothing. Throw it out back trash. But I sure am humble. Oh, you're not humbled. You're deceived. You're wrong. Least in the kingdom is greater than John, and no greater born a woman than John, and you're one of them, and you ain't nothing. Child of the Most High God, but you ain't nothing. Baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, you ain't nothing. The devil wants you to buy into that. Nobody is a nobody in the kingdom of God. Look at somebody and say, nobody is a nobody in the kingdom of God. And everybody that's in the kingdom, everybody is somebody in the kingdom of God. That's why someone said, Satan trembles. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian down on their knees because they're highly qualified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. I never got anywhere with God by whining. or being self-deprecating. The devil sure rode in on it. Amen. Now, the Bible said a man should not, let's balance this. Because we got a lot of little Benny Broster. I can tell. I was going to say rooster came out roaster. Must be time for me to quit and go eat. Benny Roaster. I guess you could roast a Benny Rooster, couldn't you? Around my house, I've been through hard times till I got under God's blessing. We'd have roasted just about anything that we could put in a roaster. Pressure cooker. Pressure cook that tough little old rooster. A man ought not think of himself higher than he ought, because that gets us into pride. It brings us into an independence from God instead of a dependence on God. And God is so concerned with Paul's many revelations that he didn't get in that, he allowed trouble to come to his life. And when he prayed for it to go, it didn't go. And he came to God, and God told him why it was there, dropped it in his heart. He said, lest I be lifted up above measure through the many revelations that you've given me. There was given to me. God permitted in his permissive will. He allowed an emissary from Satan, which means a special agent. He got one of his best and baddest and said, I'm going to assign you to him. Don't let up. Amen. He didn't let up, and Paul never gave up to prove he that believes on Jesus is an overcomer. And we can overcome hell's worst because we have heaven's best. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 And he kept him dependent on the Lord, and God took him through everything. And when Paul had victory, he took no personal credit for it. He gave every bit of the glory to God. Can you say, man, hallelujah? But he had victory. Make no mistake about it. He had victory. Why did he have victory? Well, he was Paul. He went to third heaven. He had ministerial gifts. No, he had victory because he believed on him that you and I have believed on. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, wow. We'll have to finish this, I assume, someday. We're getting to the point that we need a mindset that is not above what we are. But we also need a mindset that we are not just old sinners saved by grace. And we've got to show God that we're worthy of his help. We've got to show him we have enough faith, that we have enough spiritual fortitude, that we got to show him. I just love to love God. I love to talk to God in prayer like I talked to Pamela when we were apart. I have never been 700 miles away from my wife somewhere and looked at my watch and said, oh Lord, I was going to watch this movie, but I got to call my wife. Amen. That's not love. If you love somebody, you want to talk to them more than the movie. More than the movie. Some churches cancel Sunday night because there's not enough people, because the Walking Dead is coming on. Honey, people with that attitude are the real Walking Dead. They leave church on Sunday morning. In fact, they're out now. The Walking Dead are going to the Golden Corral. Because you know they're hungry. Can you say, man? But they're not hungry for God. And they're not hungry for his house. And they're not hungry for his worship. And they're not hungry for his word. So get it on and get it over. We got things to do. People to see and stuff to eat. Don't get me wrong, God knows we can't stay in here all day long. But he also knows where the church is spiritually. And he knows that many people would love to go to a cut and dried meeting where they'll take time for four offerings. but not take time for the Holy Spirit to come and draw people to Christ and for people to really learn what the Bible has to say about who they are in Jesus Christ. And I want the people that are there, that are in this room, that are there, I have no message for you. I have nothing to say to you. Don't ever go to our website and download anything, because you don't need anything. I'm not sent to people that have arrived. God didn't anoint me for people who know it all. Amen. Can you say amen? The well. They don't need a physician. Amen. But those of us who have issues in our life and needs in our life, we need the great physician. We need the balm in Gilead. We need the blessing of God. We need the favor of God. The blessing of the Lord. His favor. Say His favor. Quit thinking about the Escalade for just a second. His favor. The blessing of the Lord. His acceptance. His love. His favor. His commitment to us. It. The blessing itself. Before any other need is met materially, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. The blessing itself. Being right with God. God acknowledging you as His sons and daughters. Promising to provide for you and protect you. And answer you and help you. And never leave you and never forsake you. The blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. And He addeth no sorrow with it. He said, I want you to employ it. And I want you to enjoy it. I don't need something from the material world. But if somebody gives me something, I'm not going to sit in the room and say, oh Lord, somebody gave me a new car. They're going to think I'm backslid now for sure. I'm not even going to drive it. Too humble and dedicated. I told the Lord, when y'all had a car giving you some trouble, I told the Lord, Lord, if you give me, not with payments, if you give me a car, I'm going to give a car to you guys. And now that I've told them, they're praying the same prayer with me. We are in agreement. Brother Taylor said, bless Him, Lord. Bless Him. Bless me to be a blessing. Hallelujah. But knowing that you're the least in the kingdom, but you have a standing with God. You have it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You can't qualify yourself. The blood of Jesus has given you a standing with God. Can you say, man? Who is he that overcomes the world that is under the influence of the devil? Who is he? Who is he? I like what one translator paraphrases. I don't study or read often from paraphrases. It says, but every child of God defeats this evil world by trusting Christ to give the victory. And the ones who win this battle against the world are the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Because flesh and blood did not reveal that truth. If it's solidified in your heart, no Bible teacher revealed it to you. No preacher revealed it. You heard someone preach it. You read it in the Word. But God Himself revealed that to you. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Son of God, not because I say so, but because God said so. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 So as we close this morning, all victory, therefore, begins with a revelation of who Jesus is. You say, Brother Bumble, I know who Jesus is. Oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, really? I mean, you know Him as your Savior. I'm not talking about that. Paul knew Him as his Savior. And he knew Him through all kind of spiritual experiences. But you know what his quest was? The driving desire of his heart? Oh, that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings. Oh, that I might know Him. The things I once counted gain, Jew of the Jews, religious credentials galore, Jew of the Jews, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day, according to the law. And by the way, while we're talking about the law, might I humbly say, concerning the law, I'm blameless. And it wasn't his material possessions, it was his spiritual qualifications that he counted such gain, because when he walked, amen, anywhere, they looked at him as one of them, one of the in crowd in the Sanhedrin, the highest religious governing body of the land. And he said the thing, boy, see, you got to get rid of dead religion if you're going to follow a living Christ. Because dead religion and ritual will not do it. You can study the Bible all day long, but if you don't come to know Jesus deeper through that study, all you've got is the Logos. And the Logos is holy and helpful, but it's not the Rhema. They're not one and the same. When the Spirit reveals... When I was little and I got to close, this is my fifth closing. Just think, if I didn't start closing, we may never close. Can you say, man, but at least I've started. I have good intentions. I love the pop-out books. I couldn't afford them when I was growing up, but you go in a store and you open a book about dinosaurs. You open the first page and a big old dinosaur, he pops up. Close the page, he folds down. Open the next page, a triceratops pops up. And a rhinoceros. Amen. He pops up. And when the Holy Spirit starts taking the word and revealing it to you, when you hear it or read it, it's like a pop-up book. It just pops up. You have to put on your 3D glasses. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see it. Somebody told me the other day, they said, Pastor Venable, I see it. I've heard it for years, but I see it. Can you say, man, it's personal? And it's powerful when it's personal. Because you just don't believe because he said or she said, but because you know. You know, praise God. And there's a lot of things you don't know that you can, until you know, you're ignorant of. But once you know, you can't unknow it. Praise God. I said, once you know, you can never unknow. You can know what the Bible says and do despite from it, but you're going to be out there with a knowledge that a bunch of crazy people running around with you don't know. But you know. You know, and it's going to be different for you. Sin ain't going to be near as much fun if you decide to get back in it. I can guarantee double T that. If you know you're wrong, you know you need to get right, you don't sleep good, you can't enjoy the meal. Amen. One day I saw a rocket take off. I was coming home from work, got saved at 12, and I got away from God, got bitter and all that junk. I was away from God, and they were shooting a rocket from Cape Canaveral. And I didn't hear about it because I worked nights and I didn't hear about anything. And so I'm coming home. They shot that rocket. And I'm coming home just, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. And I saw that big fiery thing in the sky. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. Here I am, not right with God. See, I didn't even realize it, the thing was going up. I thought maybe a comet was coming, going to annihilate the whole world, and I wasn't ready to meet the Lord. And I was bugged. Boy, I turned on my radio. I didn't even stop to listen to the rock and roll. I went right over hunting the news. I went from AM to FM to AM where I could find some news, and they said a rocket is just... And I thought, I'm all right. I'll keep on a little while longer until the Lord got sick and tired of my shenanigans and he got my attention. And when he did, it was the greatest act of love he could ever bestow on me. Because he turned me from the road that I was on. He hemmed me in. And the hound of heaven. Everybody say the hound of heaven. Oh, it's not in the King James, but there is a Holy Spirit there that when he comes, he will convince the world of sin. And I was convinced I was a sinner. And I was convinced that I was lost. And I was convicted of my sin. Amen. But I was also, amen, brought to God through Jesus Christ. He revealed the Savior. What a wonderful day that was. And how precious it is now, Pamela, as we get into our twilight years. More than ever, I never regret a day of giving my heart to Jesus and following him and serving him. And I know, see, this is where the persuasion, this is where that solidarity, that Christianized faith comes in. I know. I don't just know who saved me. I know whom I have believed. And through that knowledge, I am persuaded. I am persuaded that he's able. I don't wait till I die. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able, which that word in the Greek means able and faithful, to keep that I have committed unto him against that day. I'm not going to die and be weighed in the balances. I'm not going to have to wait to see which way I'm going to go. My dad got dementia just before he passed away. He was in the South Florida Baptist Hospital with pneumonia. And I went to visit him. He said, Bobby, you're not going to believe this as we close. Bobby, you're not going to believe this. But I'm telling you, it happened. As sure as I'm here in this room today and you're here with me, it happened. I said, okay. I'm kind of forewarned. You know, something heavy's coming down. He said, Bobby, last night, everybody left the hospital. I was in here by myself. And he said, I went down the hall, see if I could find anybody. And I walked down the hall to the elevator. Nobody at the desk. It was quiet. And he said, I pushed the button on the elevator and stepped in. And in the elevator with me, he said, the devil was standing right there glaring at me. And he said, you know what he did? I said, what? He said, he pressed the down button. I mean, that's scary. If it's real to you, and it was real to him, you say, that's foolish. Well, it was real to him, see. And I said, well, what did you do? He said, I grabbed him. Hallelujah. And I thought, my poor old 93-year-old dad grabbed a hold of him. He said, I grabbed him. And we started fighting and we wrestled for those buttons. And he said, Bobby, I made up my mind. I'm not going down. I'm going up. Hallelujah. And I said, Dad, I'm proud of you. I said, come on, tell me more. He said, we wrestled for about an hour. He said, I got him down and I wore him out and I reached out past his old fingers and his old hand and I pressed the up button. And when I pressed the up button, he disappeared. I said, then you won. You win, praise God. You'll always win because God is with you and God is for you and the devil can't do you no harm. Oh, he has no claim on you. Oh. Brother Taylor, he had a lot of depressing times and he got some weird stuff. But he knew one thing. If you get in a battle with the devil and God's on your side, you know how it's going to come out before the fight ends. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Woo! Brother, you better come up here so I can quit and they'll believe it's actually time. Hallelujah. The least in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom. Who is he? Who is he? With these special gifts, talents, super spiritual fortitude, revelations. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God because flesh and blood didn't reveal that unto you. But my Father, which is in heaven, and on this rock, the rock of See, the true church is built on revelation. You can't join it. You're baptized into it by the Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And we become the body of Jesus Christ and His members in particular. And to conquer us, He'd have to conquer Him. Hallelujah. But you got to stand. You got to stand having done all. And we think there's something left to do. And if we do it, we'll have the victory. But the actual Greek rendering is, after you put the armor on, having done all, should be rendered accurately from the Greek. And in addition to all, take the shield of faith. That's where it says above all. It doesn't put it on the top shelf. See, not even a holy murmur on that one, because man has put it on the top shelf. It's not on the top shelf. It's there. It's vital. It's important. It's not on the top shelf. Follow after faith, hope, and love, these three. Faith is not on the top shelf. Is it? Don't put it there. God didn't put it there. Man puts it there. You know why man puts it there? See, that crazy look you gave me like a calf at a new gate is making me preach longer. Because you think if you can build your faith, you can drive. Your faith will take you wherever you want to go. I'm in control. No, you're not. You're not meant to be. If you don't give the wheel to Jesus, you're going to wreck that thing. And when it wrecks, you're going to question God. I believed Him. I trusted Him. I stood on the Word. I bound the devil. Yeah, but you didn't give Him the wheel. When your faith puts you in the driver's seat, you need to be in the back seat. In fact, there's too many backseat drivers, because Jesus is going to turn down this bumpy road, and you know a smooth road that'll get you there in half the time. And you're going to tell Jesus about it. Jesus, wait a minute. Don't go down that road. It's bumpy. It's steep. It'll take 2 hours out of our way. Jesus, listen to me. Take this road. We'll be there in an hour, and it's all smooth. You can run 75, and they won't even stop you. That's backseat driver. Tell Jesus what to do. Tell Jesus, stop the car. See, as you mature, you get out of the front seat. You give Him the wheel. You take off your God is my co-pilot sticker. As if you're sitting in the driver's seat and He's telling you what to do. No, take off the God is my co-pilot. God don't want to be your co-pilot. Because there's a weak link in that can be defeated. And it ain't Him. He's the co-pilot. He don't have the wheel unless you croak or give it to Him. Can you say amen? But if He's the pilot, then you ain't driving no more. Give country song, Jesus, take the wheel. Then when victory comes, you can't give your faith, which is an indirect way of taking it for yourself. My faith got me these things. My faithfulness got me these things. No, my Savior gave me these things. Can you say, man? It's a grace gift all the way home. Here's what you need to do as we close. Jesus! My car is beat up and I'm not getting where I know you want me to be. Jesus, take the wheel. Crawl over in the back seat and then tell Him how to drive. No. Jesus, it's not enough. I don't feel peace yet. I don't feel power yet either. Stop the car, would you please, for just a moment. Push that button right over here. Right over here on the left-hand side. It'll pop that trunk. Just go crawl in the trunk and take a nap. And say, Jesus, would you please wake me up when we get there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Bimbo, that's stupid. No, that's peace. And that's the only way you'll ever get it. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. I love riding in the trunk and letting Jesus drive. Man, when I have dental work, there ain't enough Novocaine in the world to numb me to the fear. You can numb my gums, but you can't numb my mind. He comes out there with a tray with a hammer. There's a hammer. It's a very polished, sanitized hammer, but there is a hammer, and there is a chisel. There's a chisel, so if it don't come out, he can, you know, one of them they had to pull out, call me a wisdom, you know, they pull that out, and then they have to go in and scrape the gums, and he had this whole paraphernalia stuff, and I was looking at that tray and looking at him, and I thought, Lord, have mercy. He going to use all that stuff on my mouth? I don't want a shot. See, I told him beforehand, you going to do all that oral surgery? Would you like a shot in your gums, or would you like to be put to sleep? Well, it won't cost as much if you get the shot. Money is no object. I will borrow money, praise God. I'll go down the loan company and say, man. But it was so good because I knew what was coming. I looked at that tray and thought about what I was going to have to go through. Just even numbed. You know, he starts beating that hammer down in there and the chisel and all of that stuff. And the scalpel to cut the gums and the scraper to scrape it. And this big tray of stuff. And I thought, oh, come on, come on, come on. And that nurse come in, and she takes this little IV, puts it in my... She said, would you please start counting backwards from 10? Honey, I didn't have to count. I was ready to go to sleep. I want to be somewhere else when he does all of that. She put that thing in, and I just did it for her sake. I said, 10, 9. No, I didn't get to 8. I didn't get to no 8. I was already on my way, buddy. I was working with the medicine. And next thing I know, Mr. Venable, sound like it's way off. Mr. Venable! See, I wanted to make sure he was done. You know, my great fear was waking up and him still busy, waking up early. So I stayed asleep even when I wasn't asleep. Finally, the nurse came. Lord, help me and have mercy on me. I did that. Amen. She said, Mr. Venable, it's time to wake up. And I thought, I can't fake it no more. I better wake up. I just pray it's over. I opened my eyes and it was over. He had numbed my gums while I was asleep. Didn't feel any pain. And my wife was there to take me by the hand. And grinning that bloody grin. Everybody say, ooh. I got a bigger ooh. I usually get bigger oohs than amens. But anyway, it took me to the car and put me in the back seat. And I thought, boy, this is it. They took care of the business with my gums and teeth. They're numb. I ain't feeling no pain. And I'm going to lay down in the back seat. And Pamela's going to drive me home before the pain comes back. And I go, wah! She gets me home. She's going to lead me to the bed and say, you lay right there, honey. Are you doing all right? Yeah, I'm great. I'm great. Keep making over me, and I'll just lay right here. And it was so good. When it's over, it's behind you. And the peace of God comes. When the peace of God comes. When the peace of God comes. There is a rest that only that peace can give. Praise God. And the least in the kingdom has a standing with God that causes God to commit himself as your heavenly Father. He takes the responsibility for you and he makes himself available to you. He becomes accessible to you. And when that day occurs and you stand in your standing, there's nothing that hell can throw at you or this world that can keep you from following Christ and enjoying the journey and not enduring it. And prayer will become communicating with somebody you love. It will become a joy instead of a job. Hallelujah. Studying the Word will be reading a love letter. Pam, give me a note at school. Little old simple note. PP loves RV. Wow. I treasured it. Somebody's committing themselves to me and wants me to know that they love me. And I walk all the way from Brandon to Sefner Mango, miles. And I get home and it's dark and everybody's eat supper and I eat leftovers. But that's okay, because I got me a note right here and I'm going straight to my room. When I'm done, I'm going to read it again. There's a heart there too. There's a heart. And it says PP plus is RV and I love you, Bobby. Now, wow. I'm going to take that bus back there tomorrow. It wasn't a job. It was a joy. It was a joy. When I got on my bus finally, they said, "Are you on the right bus?" I said, "Yeah, this is my real bus." God is so good today. Have you got anything out of this teaching this morning? It's growing very late. We took special time this morning, but it's not too late for God to speak to your heart, speak to your life, and give you His peace. You may feel like Pat Boone's son-in-law. He'd just come to Jesus a few months. He was struggling through some issues in his life. The change comes immediately in terms of your standing, progressively concerning your walk. In fact, every Christian in this room, there's still a work, progressive work of God going on. But the instant you're saved, you will never be any more saved than the day you were saved. Amen. You partake of Christ if you keep the beginning of your confidence steadfast to the end. He requires that, but the work is His, not yours. And He's good at it. He's good at it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So no matter what you're facing, what struggles you're in, know that God is for you. And God is in your corner. And God is going to bring you through if you will keep your trust in Him. You are highly qualified to overcome. But He requires that you stand in your standing for that to occur. Don't back up. Don't give up. Don't look back. Don't go back. Can you say, man, there's victory in Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. For every person in this room. I'm going to ask you another question. Anyone here without Jesus, if you died today, you don't know where you would spend eternity. Anyone in this room, this is a wonderful opportunity for anyone to be saved. Anybody in this room? Anybody? All right. I'm going to move on. But the altars are open. You don't need a call from me to come. You need His call. And you need to respond to it. Anyone in here that sometimes, in spite of the knowledge, you may know what I preach, you may have read it, but in spite of all of that, there are times in your life that you just don't feel loved like somebody else or blessed. You just don't feel. It's a feeling that you get. And it comes with discouragement. These feelings that are void of faith that cause you not to stand in your standing, they come when you're discouraged. And there's no one in this room above discouragement. I fight that all the time to keep victory. I've never come to a place of supersonic faith where I never have to deal with things that break my heart, that discourage me, that set me back. But I go back to the Word, Brother Taylor, again and again and again. Is there anyone in here that sometimes, with your knowledge, your understanding of the Word, you know what the Bible says, but you have the feeling, and you just need the Holy Spirit to come alongside at those times and point you, as David said, when my heart, not if, but when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a refuge for me and a hiding place for my enemies, a strong tower. Praise God. And I thought He was looking for a brother or a sister. And sometimes they'll be there and God will use them. But there are times when that brother is not there and that sister is not there. And I went back to the psalm that I'm talking about. And he's asking God to do it. He's saying, "Lord, if there's nobody else, you're always there for me. there's no one to encourage me, I'm still not going to stay discouraged. You're there for me. Lead me to the rock, Lord. Remind me that you're my help. You're my shield. You're my buckler. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. Can you say amen? How many need that from the Lord from time to time in this room? I need it. That's the only reason I'm still preaching today. That's the only reason I'm still shouting victory today. It's because God is so faithful to answer those dependent prayers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I thank you for your honesty today. Will you stand? Hallelujah. Everybody is a somebody. How many remember the civil rights movement when it began back in the 60s, early 60s? You remember that? I worked for Tampa Electric, and we were running the power to the Tampa International Airport. It was not built yet. And I was part of the crew running the power to the new airport. That dates me. I go way back. And there was this black lady. She was so filled with joy. I don't know if she's Christian or not, but she was a joyous lady. They were constructing that. She drove one of these great big dump trucks with the wheels, the tires were this tall. And she would go by, and every time she went by where we were working, she had a bicep. She'd put her arm up like that, show that big old bicep, and she'd look at us and grin and say, "Black power." And I thought, "I ain't gonna argue with you, lady. You the man." Amen. You the man. You're a lady, but you the man. I ain't going to tangle with that. Amen. And there was a phrase from people that had been oppressed and suppressed for so many years to get them out of the mindset that I am not worthy of fighting this fight for equality. I will never be on that level. I have been put down and told that I wasn't on that until I've lost that somewhere in the mix. And you know what it was? And it wasn't in pride. It wasn't in pride. It means that I'm as loved of God as anybody on this planet. God didn't make a mistake when he created me different in color. And you lay me down beside that white boy over there, and he needs a blood transfusion. My blood in his veins will save his life, just like his blood in my veins. Cut me and we all bleed red. Can you say, man? But you know what they said? They said something that without the pride that can creep in, that we need to say. They started being told to say, "I am somebody." Can you say, man? I am somebody. Come on, the least in the kingdom of God. You're greater than John, then you are somebody. Can you say amen? And all the somebodies that think they're nobodies need to stand up and begin to pray and to testify. Hallelujah. And take the land in the name of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Let's have this song. This is, my grandmother used to say, my great-grandmother, after every meal, she went to get apple butter, apple sauce, some kind of jelly, cake. Amen. Because she would bring it, no matter how full you were, she'd push it in front of you and say, "You got to have something sweet to quit off on." Can you say amen? I was in line somewhere the other day, said, "Life is short, eat dessert first." Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift him up in this song. If you have to go, you may at any time. You understand.